my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm a climber with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade XPod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Pichella, and I also have a trading problem.
I am Russ Fisher, and I have a trading problem.
And I'm Brian Haar, and I too have a trading problem.
What's up, everybody, and welcome to session 400 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, the DAP is always here to stay. Yeah, everyone got a DAP in. And it's a day we've been building up for a while. It's episode 400. Russ and Brian Haar are back, and everyone is just so excited to be here. We've got all four hosts back, and Russ is taking off from his fantasy care duties to record with us, so we appreciate that. Russ, we'll start with you. How are you?
Ugh, my daughter lost her retainer, and she thinks she lost it in her room. And now, mind you, retainers these days are like Invisalign. They're clear pieces of plastic. So I spent the past 3 hours, my wife and I, tearing her room apart.
Oh, my God.
We did not find it. So that's why I'm late. And then I'm having computer issues. And I'm just so glad to see your three faces. It's all coming in. It's all coming back together.
Brian, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me back. It's good to see everybody, and should be fun to chop it up here tonight.
Yeah. I think to make it official, Brian returning is to drop Piss Missile some point in the podcast.
Yep.
I'll make him
do some drops.
Oh, that's right. We got to get him to do the
oh yeah, we're gonna do
trade
it.
Addicts trades.
Let's yeah, yeah. Questions. We have Jeff Blaylock in the chat wishing us congrats. We have Zach in the chat saying congrats. He's doing two things at once. I appreciate that. He's on the Hangout and typing at the same time. But Brian, I think there's only one way to start the next segment. So what is it time for?
It depends which ones we're doing. We're doing the news.
The first
right?
thing. Yeah.
It's been a while, boys. So I'm a little bit out of sorts, but let's go ahead and check in with the news.
Yeah. And we're starting sad. George Kittle tore his Achilles. And you knew it almost immediately. I mean, just couldn't walk. I respect the bottle of tequila thing. And props to Diana Rossini. Queens stay queens. But Jake Tongas is a restricted free agent. I thought that was an important note considering how he's done covering for Kittle. So, Russ, I'm going to let Brian loose on Tomlin in a second. So why don't you cover the Kittle stuff? What are you doing with Kittle and Tongas and everything else around it?
Like, come on, man. Like, you had to take Kittle from us. Like, what am I doing with it? I mean, there's nothing you could do with Kittle right now. He's a dead asset on your rosters because he's what, 34, like 33, 34. Yeah, and
yeah. No, he's 32, I think.
Is he? Sorry, Kelsey's 34. I mean, he's 32 and just tore his Achilles in the playoffs. So, like, is he going to play next year?
Doesn't sound like it.
Probably not. So, like, we're talking a season plus that we're going to be waiting on this.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to want whatever tight end they have because that offense is just easy is the wrong word because I'm sure it's a difficult offense to run because of how good it is. But, like, It's very fantasy friendly. There you go. That's a good phrase. Mm-hmm. So you're going to want whatever tight end they have there. If they do keep Tonjes there, that's awesome. If not, then like you'll want whatever they pull in there.
That's such a good point. They find a way to make. They played one of the, my opinion, the best defenses in the league, and they put up like 300 and some yards and scored two late touchdowns. DeMarcus Robinson was getting catches all over the place. Like Shanahan just figures it out, and Tongas looked really good when he was in there earlier this year, at least from a fantasy perspective.
Brian, you have anything to add before we?
I agree with that on Tongas or whoever they end up getting to fill that position. I think the only other thing I'd say is if you've been out on Christian McCaffrey because he's getting old, get back in for another year or two and pray that his body holds up, because the workload that he's going to see is just going to be insane.
Yeah.
I think it always is.
Right. I think it was our good friend and TAA champion Tyler who said, like, Cole Kmet's going to look really good in a Niners uniform. And I could totally see the Bears and Niners doing something like that. Although Cole Kmet costs more than people think because they extended him already. So we'll see. But yeah, it sucks. And you're probably stuck holding Kittle for as long as he's out. So, all right, Brian. We'll do the other coach stuff second, but we'll start with your guy. Tomlin's stepping down. It sounded like kind of a mercy killing. It doesn't, like, you know, they were never going to fire him, but it sounds like he kind of did. It worked out for everybody, right? And I'm sure you're going to get into this, but they hold his rights through 27. And I know I said, Rocky, we wouldn't talk about him, but this is an important aspect. It sounds like Rodgers was more tied to Tomlin than we thought. So, because Rodgers is now getting very wishy-washy, and what Brian, didn't Rooney say it? And you can just go from here. Didn't Rooney say, like, Rodgers is like, we don't know about him now or something like that, like with Tomlin gone?
Yeah, that's correct. I think he said something along the lines of, you know, Aaron came to play with or play for Mike. So they really don't know exactly where he stands, but they would imagine that he is impacted by Tomlin stepping away. So, obviously big news. It's crazy to me that both of those, you know, both of the powerhouses, and no disrespect to Cleveland or Cincinnati, but the Ravens and the Steelers, both coaches 18 years or longer, both go out on the same season, in different ways, but like kind of also it was time, right? Like for both probably. So that's just wild in general. And then, yeah, as far as the Steelers go, I mean, I think Tomlin, it sounds like he, you know, had a pretty sweet TV deal maybe lined up, or maybe it already had some conversations about that. So I'd anticipate he's going to move into TV here this year, and then, you know, and then see what comes if he gets the itch to coach again. Like you said, the Steelers, I believe, hold his rights for the 27 season. So, you know, whether anybody's willing to pay them compensation or just wait it out, or whether Mike wants to wait, who knows? But I certainly appreciate everything that Mike Tomlin did in Pittsburgh. I think I'm probably in the minority there, especially with a good bit of the fan base anyways. But I think he's a great coach. I think if he wanted to coach tomorrow, he'd go ahead and get another job and do well. I I'm appreciative of everything he did in Pittsburgh. He's a good man and a good coach. So just got a little stale there, and I think it's good for him, and I think it's good for the organization for them to, you know, part ways. And I'm excited as a Steelers fan for whatever comes next. I'm not really sure what it's going to be, but you know, anytime there's a coaching change, at least from, you know, my perspective as a Steelers fan who's not used to doing this very frequently, you know, I get excited about it, and yeah, we'll be hopeful that a new guy can come in and reinvigorate the roster and make some, you know, decisions and coach them up in a manner in which leads them back to the playoffs and to actually winning a playoff game. Because I think that was the biggest thing with Tomlin at the end, too. If he'd have won a playoff game, I don't think he still might have stepped away, but I don't think the pressure would have been from the organization or the fans or anything like that. But it just didn't end that way. So
if we take inventory of what we have on the Steelers right now, it sounds like Rodgers is leaving. Mm-hmm. Gainwell is a free agent. Mm-hmm. So they have a running back to fill. Warren's still there. DK's obviously signed for eternity, and you have to give up your firstborn son to give him away. And
yeah, they actually,
Will Howard is the quarterback, probably.
Yeah, they actually don't. They have an out with DK now because he got suspended. They can actually void the contract. I don't know exactly how all that stuff works. I didn't dig into it enough, but I believe that there's a something in a clause in his contract that voids it. If the Steelers wanted to move on, they could. I don't know when that is. I don't know if it's after this, like now, or if it's after next year. I'm not 100% on that, but I believe there's an out because he got suspended. It's not a great roster right now on either side of the football. I mean, the defense has some really good players, great players, but they're all aging. You know, so it's not, you know, the Steelers organization, I think, makes it, you know, the stability of the organization makes it a top destination and a job that coaches are going to want. And in the same respect, you know, I kind of wish Rooney wouldn't have come out and said what he did. I think it was today where he said, you know, hey, we're not interested in rebuilding. Well, take a look at the roster, bud. There's going to need to be some major, major, major changes here if you want to be in any type of contention in the near future. So, but yeah, it's a depleted roster and there's some work to do for sure.
Yep. So we'll go through the rest of the coaching and then we'll tag Russ and Rocky in. But LaFleur is going to return to Green Bay, it seems like, as of right now, working on an extension. Otherwise, this will be his last year in 26, and that's going to be a really big lame duck year for him. Keep in mind, these are we last recorded 8 days ago, so some of these people have known for a while. But McDaniel was fired. Bowles is staying. Petullo was fired. Greg Roman was fired. Tampa's OC was fired. And David Blau was hired as Commanders OC, which, shout out the guy who probably like saved our teams once, like in 2017, as the Lions quarterback. But Dynastud's question is, rank the current head coach openings from most to least attractive. So, Russ, give me your top three. Do you need me to give you the list of teams again?
I know.
I'm scrolling. I'm trying to see if they're on the show sheet. Baltimore's got to be one.
Yeah.
Probably the Giants are probably two.
Arizona, Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Dolphins.
Atlanta has to be up there, right? Like that?
Yep.
That pretty much is a playoff team if you have a quarterback.
Yes.
I think those are my three answers. I like a lot of what the Cardinals have going on, but clearly, despite what's going on in that division, you need more than what they have. So, I mean, I'm a Kyler fan. It's not going to just go away, even though I understand Jacoby Brissett led that offense way better than Kyler ever did. But no, I mean, Titans, no. The Dolphins aren't terrible. But I mean, you asked for my top three, and I'm going to stick with
Giants.
I'm going to stick with Baltimore, Giants, Atlanta.
Yeah, the nine are in the show sheet for people. Rocky, same question.
Yeah, I mean, I pretty much agree with that. I mean, he's saying for fantasy purposes.
Yeah.
I mean, I think for fantasy purposes, I think Atlanta's if they can find a coach and quarterback to fit together there, that offense could go crazy. Like London, Pitts looked decent this year.
Had his best year. Good. Give him good.
Well, yeah, he did. He had his best year pretty much. Yeah. You know, London, Pitts, Bijan, there's a lot going on there. It's just you're worried about Penix. I think for fantasy purposes, it's Atlanta. The Giants are strangely interesting for fantasy purposes, too, if Malik can come back healthy. But we talked about that recently, where there's definitely some question marks there with how bad his knee was.
Yeah.
I don't know if Harbaugh helps with that. I guess it depends on who his OC is. But I don't know if there's been talk about who he's planning to bring along as an OC wherever he goes. But
that's what my next question was. So I'll ask Brian to bring him back in. If I add Philly OC, Detroit OC, Chargers OC, do any of those fit into the rankings ahead of the head coach of Baltimore or Atlanta or the Giants? I think for McDaniel, it makes all the sense in the world to go to Detroit.
Yeah.
Go be.
Well, I think, I like two of those three offenses. Right. I mean, the Philly offense, for sure is interesting. Freaking Saquon Barkley's there. What are we talking about? Detroit's offense is really, really good. Even this year, obviously they weren't as electric as they were when Ben Johnson was there, but like they weren't bad from a fantasy perspective. So, again, it's kind of like what we were talking about with the Eagles and Saquon and stuff kind of before the show started, you're probably taking the seasons you got from the Detroit guys this year, right? Like, it's just that last year they were like insane. So, those are both good jobs and both offenses that I want to be heavily invested in from a fantasy perspective. As far as the three head coaching openings, I'm with you guys as far as which ones are, attractive from a fantasy perspective and which ones are interesting from a fantasy perspective. I'm really interested in the Giants. I mean, I think with Scadabo and Dart and if Neighbors can come back strong, they add one or, they add another piece there and they're going to be, they have the potential to be really good. So, I'm with you guys on that. I don't know. I mean, offense wise, I'd put Philly and Detroit up there. Mm-hmm. If they make good hires, I think they're up there with the head coaching positions for sure.
Yeah. Just as long as the Eagles don't hire from within again. I don't think that's happening either. So. Yeah.
And he was asking about Arthur Smith and where we can hide him. Just keep Arthur Smith away from all this.
Get him out of Pittsburgh, please.
Yeah.
Anybody take him?
Yeah. Go to Vegas or something. Just go away. All right. The minor news. Kirk Cousins had his contract restructured. Basically, they moved his guaranteed money to like next year, but they have to decide on it by March 13th. So short answer is we're going to know about Kirk Cousins by March 13th, which is 3 to 4 days into free agency. Rashee Rice stuff I just put. The Chiefs are aware of it. They haven't said much since. I think we're going to be done talking about it. Just keep an eye on it, but just he's an idiot. Jordan Addison is also an idiot. I don't know how you get caught trespassing in a casino that's open 24/7. So that's interesting. David Montgomery could be moved this offseason. Cam Scadabo said he will be ready for camp. Adam Thielen retired. I hope he enjoys it. And Dante Moore is going back to school. RIP New York Jets. Yep, that's the Oregon guy.
Former Pittsburgh Steeler great Adam Thielen.
Yes, exactly. So anyone have takeaways from any of the minor stuff? I think it's good that we know about Cousins before free agency, draft, all that stuff. But anyone? Russ, we can start with you. Any takeaways? Or
no.
Are you scared of Addison? Is he poison? Are we just are we just accepting he's going to do one of these every offseason?
Yeah. Until he does something that's
on the right level.
Please no.
Yeah.
you know, throw those phrases around, knucklehead or whatever, you know, like, you hope Justin Jefferson is there to slap him in the back of the head, let him know how good he has it, and, you know, mentor the guy up a little bit. But I know, like, I'm not scared. I think
he's a free agent. Addison is after this year. Yeah, after this year, Addison's a free agent. So,
yeah, we'll see what happens there.
Better stop messing up.
He'll have to. He'll get a 1 year prove it deal anywhere. He's that good
in Las Vegas, probably, because they love those. So, Brian, anything on this that we haven't touched on?
I don't think. I mean, I'll just say on Dante Moore, like, that's definitely a big hit to the draft class. You know, you're talking about a guy who's probably going top three, right? So anytime a guy like that goes back to school, that's big news, and definitely hurts the class, especially at the quarterback position. So, yeah, I was kind of surprised, to be honest. But with NIL, you know, it's a game changer, and they get paid well and get to be a college kid for another year. And so I get it, but it's tough for the class.
Yeah. And it just means 2027 continues to get more and more stacked. It might be the best class in 15 years. I mean, it's going to be a ridiculous class. And Rocky, anything on the minor stuff?
Nope, I think we can move on.
And then I'll say, Rocky, I'll start this with you. We're done with this guy too after this. If I made you bet a significant amount of money, is AJ Brown an Eagle in week one?
I think this was before the show we were talking about this.
Yeah.
If you made me make, I am 50-50 on it, but if you made me pick one side or the other, I think he is an Eagle in 2026, mainly because of the cap hit that we were talking about.
Yep.
I just think the cap hit's too big. We were discussing it, and it could go into 27 more than 26, but I don't think they want that either. I think they try and he did until what happened on Sunday. He had been a lot better the second half of the year in terms of any issues coming up, any tweets, any this or that, complaining about targets. And then Sunday happened, so it brought it all back up. But I still think they're going to try and ride it out and see what happens. New offensive coordinator might help too. Maybe, you know, AJ it won't be as disgruntled depending on who they bring in. So if I had to bet, I say he's there, but I wouldn't be shy. It's like 55-45 for me that he's there. I could go either way.
Yeah. Brian or Russ severely disagree. Okay. All right, we're going to do one round of off-season questions. We'll do one division. So, Russ or Brian, you can choose. We have NFC North, NFC West, NFC South, AFC North, AFC West, or AFC South. Pick your division you want to talk about. Russ, pick.
NFC North.
NFC North. Okay. So for those who didn't listen last week, these are either going to be questions or kind of statements like, I believe this or I don't. Starting with my Chicago Bears, who I don't think are going to beat the Rams on Sunday, but it's been a fun season. And holy crap, what a game that was.
Whew.
At value, believe it or not, at value, Luther Burden is the best pass catcher, best Bears pass catcher headed into 2026. Brian says no. Go ahead, Brian. Why?
Because their tight end is going to be their best pass catcher by a lot.
I'm saying at value, though, because Colston Loveland's being treated like a top five tight end already.
Is he?
Well, he's offer
top five in DLF and Football Guys already.
I of course, the smallest of small sample sizes, one league, one trade, one manager. I offered the 109 and the 2-something for Loveland, and it was a hard no.
Yeah.
He's nuclear right now.
At cost.
Like, would you rather have Loveland or Burden plus? I think that's what we're talking about.
I'd rather have Loveland in trade addicts leagues.
Okay.
I think I agree with Brian. I'm not even a huge Loveland guy, but you know, coming off that game too, it's hard to disagree.
Gabe Davis trap. We have to be exactly. Careful.
The four touchdown. I'm always skeptical of rookie wide receivers until they really show me something anyway. So yes, obviously he's going to be a lot cheaper because he hasn't done that much this year, but I would still take the guy who's shown bigger flashes, even if he's going to cost me more. Significantly more.
Russ?
Is DJ Moore there for the long
haul? He is staying. He is, at least they can keep him at least next year, and then I think his money comes way down and they can get rid of him. I think they will try and sniff around and see who wants him, but he's expensive.
Because I do believe in Luther Burden as a player. I do think he's good.
It's a lot of mouths to feed.
That's the big problem, in which case I'll take the bet of Colston Loveland over Cole Kmet, and I will Luther Burden over Odunze and DJ Moore, even including, I know, like you keep saying, at cost. I guess until I see a hard imprinted version of what Colston Loveland's value really is right now, it's still ethereal. It's not real. It's not real to me. So he's still not super expensive. But I think Colston Loveland is still the answer.
Would you rather have Burden or Odunze?
Burden. At price, I'll take Burden.
Brian's Everyone thinking. Else answer. Rocky's thinking. I'll take Burden for what it's worth.
I think so, if we're factoring in price on that one.
I think they cost about the same, to be honest with you.
If they cost the same, it's definitely Rome for me.
Yeah, I agree. I was factoring in the Dunes is like also probably significantly more than Burden.
In the rankings I'm looking at, which is Football Guys, because my DLF's not working for some reason. Roma Dunes 13, Burden's 23. So that's not as far apart as I thought, but it's also not as close as I thought.
Yeah, I'll take Parker Washington over both of them. I would probably want Odunze in that case, even though he's more expensive.
Yes. All right, moving on to the Green Bay Packers. Do you see the offense changing to build around Jordan Love? Willis is gone. Jacobs is old. Golden magically decided to show up. Is this offense going to be more pass-heavy in 2026? And I will say this, because I know Roman's going to listen. Roman, that was the best game Jordan Love has played in years on Saturday. And maybe the best half, we'll say. But, I mean, if he's that, he's everything Roman says and more. But I'm saying that because I know he thinks I hate on Jordan Love too much. But I will say Dubs is a free agent. All what other wide receivers and tight ends are signed. Emmanuel Wilson and Chris Brooks are both free agents. So maybe we'll see Marshawn Lloyd one day. So, Brian, you can start. Do you think the offense pivots, and are you buying Love or insert Packers receiver here with that thought?
I have no idea. I mean, I really don't know what to think about Jordan Love. You know, it's like a game-to-game thing. Like, he looked great the other night, right? But, like, I don't know. I guess I'm in on him, but yeah, I just don't know. I don't know what that offense is going to look like. And so until we kind of see how it shakes out, I don't know how invested I'll be in them. I'm not overly excited about any of those wide receivers. I mean, I think they have three wide receiver two or threes, like,
Dubs is going to get paid and go somewhere else, I feel like. I don't think Dubs is coming back.
Yeah. And I wasn't big. Who's the rookie there? His name
Golden.
Yeah, Golden. I'm not overly like in on him anywhere. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to think about that offense, really. So I guess I'm kind of like staying at an arm's length until we kind of see something, but that's just kind of how I play the game anyways. So, but Love, I think, you know, that's probably their safest guy to be invested in. So
Russ, you're wearing a Packers thing. What do you, wearing a Packer sweater right now. So what do you think of
Hufflepuff?
Yes.
Second of all, I don't know, man. Like, are they going to be more pass heavy? Probably.
They must have to be.
See, the thing is, like, all right, let me take the second question first about wide receivers and Jordan Love's value in fantasy. That even if Dubs walks, they're going to find another wide receiver like that just to throw in there. Like, they want to moneyball their wide receivers. That's what they want. They want their wide receiver twos and threes. They just want eight of them because one player doesn't matter. It's the team that matters. So if you want a piece of that passing game, the only real answer is Jordan Love. Or maybe if you're the, a lot of people are very into Tucker Kraft. I could never get really into him, mostly because of how that offense is run. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, he's going to have those games. Dontavian Wicks has those games every once in a while. What are you going to do about it? It's just going to happen. That's what that offense is built to be. But I don't think there's going to be anything consistent out of Tucker Kraft. So if you want a piece of that passing game, the only real answer is Jordan Love. If Josh Jacobs does walk, I think they replace them with a real running back because they know what they are and they know they need that running game, because while Jordan Love has those highs, we've seen him have those lows. So we've seen him throw multiple interceptions, multiple games in a row. So I don't think they want him to be the key piece, even though he's, you know, one of the highest paid, whatever, because his contract ran out. But again, I think if Jacobs does leave, I think they find another running back to take his place. I don't think they depend.
Jacobs on has 2 years left. He's just old. He's just getting old.
Nah, I mean, if he plays, he's great. I'm not worried about that. Man, Josh Jacobs being old is so weird. He came into the league at like 16. So
yeah,
he'll be 20. He'll be 28 next year.
Really? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not really super concerned. I think they realize they need to bring in another running back at this point, because what they have, like you said, it's either a free agent or not that great or always injured.
Yeah.
So I think that they will bring in another running back if they do just roll with Jacobs and what they have. It just
The ghost of Marshawn Lloyd, who might actually practice for once at some
point. I'm sure.
Yeah. Rocky, anything to add?
Just real quick, I think one of the key things both of them said is just the talent surrounding him. I don't think they can be pass heavy, especially with their best pass catcher coming off a major injury, being Tucker Kraft. So, and plus, I don't think Jordan Love's good enough to support being more pass heavy. So, yeah, I don't think anything significantly changes.
Yeah. All right, moving on to the Lions. Believe it or not, you should use the hot end of 2025 to sell Jameson Williams right now before he disappoints you next year.
Man, if Dan Campbell keeps calling the offense, then I think you ride.
He's not going to be calling the offense, though.
I know. But I think he'll try and find someone more in line in his thinking, because he claims that's what I don't even remember who the offense coordinator was anymore. But
something Morton or something.
Yeah, like that was John his Morton. Big. Yeah. That was his big problem. He's like, he's not in line with the offense I want to run. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a difference of thinking in between there. So I think he's going to go out of his way to find someone who thinks more along the lines the way he does. I don't think Jameson Williams is ever going to be consistent. Like, I'm not calling him Gabe Davis or anything, but I think he's not DeSean Jackson. That's what guys like him need to be, and no one is. Closest we've gotten to DeSean Jackson was Tyreek Hill. And that's not the same, but it's like one of those guys that are so high variance but still end up with decent volume. And so they can cover up, you know, the fact that they really are just deep threats or one-trick pony. Not one-trick, but like, I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to call Tyreek Hill a gadget player because I did like 6 years ago, and I'm going to do it now. But, you know, he's just good enough to play beyond that.
Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I love JMO. I think he can be, if utilized properly, much more than just a deep threat. But to this point in his career, that's really all he's been, a gadget guy or a deep threat guy. So I think if Amon-Ra St. Brown wasn't there, right, he could do a lot more of what he does, especially volume-wise. I mean, obviously. But Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends on what you can get for him, right? Like, if I'm not out on J-Mo by any means. I think he's a solid wide receiver, too. I like him. I think he has upside, but it's like what Russ said. If you're banking on the consistency, you're probably not getting that in the current situation. So we'll see what happens with the OC. And but I'm not running out. I have a lot of shares of Williams, and I'm not really interested in moving him unless I get really great offers. So
you sell him for a first, right?
That's what I was literally about to ask. If you got a contending first for him, Rocky, you can start. Would you sell JMO?
I'm 100% selling him for a contending first. I don't trust Jameson Williams. So, and there's no reason to trust Jameson Williams. He's constantly, his whole career pretty much, he's been a guy who's going to go off for 25 times a year, 20 plus five times a year, and the rest you never know what you're going to get. So if I can get contending first, sure.
Keep in mind, Laporta was out for his entire big burst at the end. I mean, I don't know what that means, but
yeah, he was wide receiver 15 this year.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. I did look that. I would still move him for first personally.
Brian, would you?
I think it would depend on. I know this is a cop out, but it would depend on my build, my roster build, and And I haven't looked at the rookie class a whole lot yet. So if I'm being honest, other than the top end. So I don't really know off the top of my head who would be there. So it would just depend.
Russ?
Yeah, I'm selling for a first. Okay. I think the re-rolling the dice at that level of as long as he doesn't become Amon-Ra St. Brown, you're pretty much keeping value. Like, as long as if he stays exactly what he is, you're not really sad that you got like the 107 for him.
Yep.
Yeah. I'd sell him for 107. I don't know that I'd sell him for the 110 or later.
Yeah. I went 107 because that's literally the earliest contending. Because you know, you're the first person out in the playoffs.
Yeah. It didn't register. Sorry.
No. Some of us have it, some of us don't.
Hey, you know, little rusty.
It's funny. You mentioned he was wide receiver 15. I'm looking at the Trade Addicts wide receiver. Like, wide receiver was really weird this year. Like, Wandale Robinson was wide receiver 10. And he didn't have a great year. Like, he had a good year, but he wasn't like an amazing start every week. And he was wide receiver 10 in Trade Addicts scoring. It's wild.
Yeah, but that was like, was that in per game or was that overall? Because some of
that's it, overall, like, but he actually has more per something. He has more per game than Jameson.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Per game, he was wide receiver 17.
It's just wild. all right, moving on to the Vikings. Last one. Believe it or not, forget 2025. Justin Jefferson is still a top five wide receiver at worst, and if people don't think so, you should buy the dip.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Easy one. He's six in the rankings. I see he's behind Lamb, Neighbors, Chase, Puka, and JSN. I can't put Neighbors ahead of Justin Jefferson right now with him walking on a cane and all this other stuff that we're talking about. So, all right. That was an easy one.
I wouldn't put Lamb ahead of him either.
I need to see where Pickens goes. If Pickens leaves, I will. I'll put Lamb ahead of him. But if we need to see what Pickens does. Because if it's like, you know, replace Pickens with, like, using my example, Alec Pierce, I'm not scared of Lamb at all. I think Lamb's going to get his. But, yeah, I'd be scared if it was Pickens coming back. Okay. Well, I am going to kind of audible this because we only have a couple of trades. So, Brian...
Trade Addicts trades.
Thank you. And Trade Addicts leagues are 12 teams, Superflex, PPR, 10 premium with 1.75 per turn reception, 0.05 for return yard in all leagues except TA1 because they never break, they always hold. And we don't have any TA1 trades, so we'll start TA2, Shedeur Sanders for a 27 second.
You can be so. Yeah. I was offered Shedeur Sanders for the 212 this year, and I rejected it.
Wow.
I honestly, I probably should have taken it, but he's not great, and there's nothing that's telling us that he's going to be the starter next year. Now, like,
wait, you were going to get Shitter for the 212?
Yeah.
Oh, then I agree with that. Okay. I thought you turned down the other way.
No. I had the 212. Someone was giving me the door. And if I had an inkling that he was going to be a starter, maybe I would have done it, but it's just so easily that he's not, that it just didn't seem worth, like, I'll take a dart throw at 212 over holding onto a roster clogging quarterback who, even when he had the chance to start, wasn't great.
Everything Russ said, he's not good. And I don't even know if he's going to start. So why would I give anything?
I don't know if he's going to be on the team.
Yeah. Yep. But even if he starts, he's not good.
Yeah. Okay, moving right along. TA4, the aforementioned Jordan Love and James Cook for Patrick Mahomes. Brian, you can start this one.
That's a pretty good trade.
Great trade, because I don't have any idea.
I mean, I think the Patrick Mahomes of 3 years ago, I would take that side, easy. But... I mean, James Cook was, like, really good this year. And Jordan Love's not bad. So I get it. I still think I probably take the Mahomes side. But I'd have to think about it. And there's not a lot of trades out there for me that I'd consider for Mahomes in general. So great job from the other guy.
Yeah. Russ,
all right, that's a little skewing. Jordan Love averaged 18 points per game in trade addict scoring, but he got hurt in week 16, right? So he only scored 4.55. So I mean, that does skew it a little bit. Mahomes is averaging 23 points per game, averaged to about 24 points per game. That's a tough one. I guess that means it's a good trade, right? Like,
Love would average 19 points a game if you backed out his thing. It doesn't move it very much.
Yeah, so that doesn't even really kill all that much. But yeah, with James Cook doing what James Cook finally is, you know, always said, well, it's not me that always said, it was someone else here that always said, as long as number 17's on the field, 17's the number one running back. But James Cook became the number one running back on that team. And if he keeps doing that and he keeps scoring 16 touchdowns a season, I think I take the Jordan Love side. And I think at least for another year or two, I think I roll with that. So I guess I take the Jordan Love side.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I agree. It's very close. I mean, Patrick Mahomes had kind of a little dip there for a season or two in terms of production, and he did bounce back in a big way this year. The injury is a little scary, but I do think quarterbacks can, I think, tend to more do a better job of recovering from ACLs than like wide receivers and running backs who are running all over the field. It basically comes down to me that I'm not a big Love guy. I love Cook. I don't love Love.
I hate Love.
And I don't hate him, but I think I stick with Mahomes there. I think I would stick with Mahomes there. If I had Mahomes, which I don't have any Mahomes, I don't think I would sell him for that. That's what I probably wouldn't pay that either, but I don't think I would sell him for that. So that's what it comes down to for me. And Cook is not super young anymore either. He's like 26, and he's a running back. So, you know, how much more are you getting out of him? This might be the best season he ever has. So I think I will stick with Mahomes.
Do you know when you Google James Cook and British Royal Navy officers, the first thing that comes up and not the running back?
I did not know that.
I agree with Rocky completely. I if I had Mahomes, which I don't, I wouldn't trade him for this. So I guess I like Mahomes. Okay, TA5, Ramondre Stevenson and Chig Okonkwo for Isaac Tesla and a 302. This was me. So Russ, go first because Brian went first last time.
Yeah, I know. No, just no.
Whatever, man. As long as you're happy.
I think this was kind of gross. I'll just explain this. I got this, I don't know when, probably, I think it was like right after the Bears game. And I'm like, sure. Okonkwo's a free agent. Maybe he goes somewhere fun. And that's all I'm gambling on. But the rest of this is kind of garbage. I didn't.
When I looked at that, that's the only thing that was intriguing to me at all was Okonkwo. And, you know, maybe he can, in the TA 1.75 premium leagues, he can be a little something, like you said, as a free agent, go somewhere else. So I would probably take that side. But, yeah, I'm just whatever.
Yeah, I think I'd just take the pick.
Yeah, that's fine. I think I have a pretty good war chest in TA5 because I've been rebuilding there. And then TA10, me and Herms got this done literally as the show was starting. Joe Burrow and Travis Etienne for Baker Mayfield and Ladd McConkey. Brian, go ahead.
For me, and no disrespect to anyone, but this is easily Joe Burrow for me. I want Joe Burrow.
Sorry, Frank.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm not here.
I feel so bad for Baker Mayfield. Like, why can't this guy catch a break? And the thing is, like, he caught a huge break.
I think he's
about to catch a break. And then he keeps losing OCs. Like, at least now he's losing. Well, not now. Like, two of them he lost for good reasons. But he still lost them after one year. Like, let this man have some consistency in his career. It's so unfair.
It's anyway, speaking of changing OCs, people want to rip on Hurts sometimes. He's had a different OC like every year dating back to college. It's insane. I think Steichen might have been there for 2 years, and that was it. I think he might have been there 1 year, then they went to the Super Bowl, and he left. And then they had like a different OC every year in college. So I just think that's funny. But yeah, easily Burrow side for me too. And we all know I don't like McConkey, so.
I think that's really what it is for me too. I think if it was a different wide receiver of the same value, I might feel a bit better about that side. I'm just not the biggest McConkey fan.
So this started with this trade, but add Fannin to Herms' side. He was going to give me Fannin on top of that, and he kind of kiboshed that. And I just kind of wanted to trade with Herms. So then. And my team's kind of not old, but I just wanted to add a young asset. And if McDaniel is the OC for the Chargers, then this trade looks better because McConkey's the number one wide receiver in a McDaniel offense now, which helps. But I was thinking about this, and my friend told me this when we were watching the games this weekend. He's like, picture this. Stefanski goes to Tampa as the OC and Bowles gets fired and Stefanski takes over for the Bucs. And then Baker has his OC just for the rest of his career. And it's Kevin Stefanski. I mean, if that happens, then Baker's climbing the ranks again. So I probably gave up too much for this trade, but like I said, I just wanted to trade with Herms, and this was a fun trade that has upside.
I like it a lot better if it had Fannin, but yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I tried. He wouldn't give it up. That's fine. Anyways, moving on to listener questions, and we start with Herms. I asked favorite memory from 400 episodes. You don't do an intro for listener questions, do you, Brian?
Okay. I mean, I don't remember. I don't think.
No.
He said, my favorite memory is the trade of the week, Real Big Fish parody sound drop. And I'm going to add Russ dancing to that. It's also what brings me my greatest sadness as we no longer hear that gem.
I still have it.
Yeah. So before we go, before we move on, Pick Is In podcast, Haywood Almanac jumped up. $300 cap. Who stays out of this group? Scatabo, Wilson, Washington, Marks. I don't know what this is. What's Action Dynasty? Anyone know?
Well, I don't know what Action Dynasty is, but $300 cap.
Rocky, this seems like your cup of tea.
I don't know what. Oh, is that supposed to be Auction Dynasty?
Yeah, probably. Action Dynasty sounds like something awesome.
Action does.
I know it does.
He's rebuilding. Oh, it's a salary cap thing. So, yeah.
I'm not holding on to Michael Wilson for $14. You need Marvin Harrison
Jr.
to not play for Michael Wilson to be worth that. That's way too much money.
Parker Washington, based on what Brian said, is like his favorite value on the board for $3.
Penn State pass catchers, baby.
I mean, Scatabo for two.
Also. Yeah, that's the one.
And the 101. Yeah, I think Wilson's the answer. But it's an interesting question. He did say it's auction. I want to start Action Dynasty. I don't know what that is.
And now we have to make up Action Dynasty.
Yeah, let's figure out what an Action Dynasty is.
We're going to get to Dynasty stuff. He said his best episode is any episode that had an outhouse challenge. He wanted to let you victory lap and talk about your glorious TA2 crown. So please walk through your team. What'd you do? Any big trades to get there?
Yeah. So first of all, I'm fortunate to win another one. It's
another one. He says, humbly.
It's the greatest honor to win the Trade Addicts Leagues, regardless of which one or ones you win. This is my third in Trade Addicts 2. And this one, I feel probably so. The first two, Russ, I swear to God, I'm not doing this to make you feel bad. The first two, I beat Russ in the finals. This one, I felt like I earned more. Like I had a lot of luck in both of those.
Beating Russ doesn't really earn you anything.
So. Well, but
hey, I didn't do it.
But seriously, it was ridiculous how lucky I got to beat Russ both of those times, especially the first one. Josh Allen was like, he had like 42 points or something, and they were up by, I think, 7 touchdowns in the game, and they pulled him, and I won by like less than a point because they pulled Josh Allen.
Funny is Frank asked greatest memories of the show and stuff like that, and that I think is my first show as co-host was the night we used to record on Monday nights, and that was the night that Russ lost TA2.
Yeah,
Diggs and Allen just kept, or did you need him to score more, or they kept scoring?
Oh my god, that Buffalo Bills Packers game or something, wasn't it?
I needed one more completion out of Josh Allen.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah,
and they pulled him.
Yeah. So, but this one I felt like I earned, and here I will walk you through it because I feel like this is like one of my best jobs here. I only made 4 trades in the calendar year, which I know Trade Addicts, I'm failing everybody, but they were all very large trades. So the first
1 or 2 of them with me.
Yeah. One of them was the very first one. Rocky and I made a deal. I gave up AJ Brown, Kittle, and a second, which will end up being the 212. And I got the 107, which turned into Tyler Warren, the 202, which turned into Amika Egbuka. And then I have the Rocky's first this year, which is the 104. So
yeah, very bad.
So
I was trying to contend, it didn't work.
Yeah, so that worked out really well. But then the other trades I made were extremely impactful. In fact, I'm going to tell you about them because I have the actual breakdowns of how many points these players scored. Listen, this is my best. This is my best fantasy year ever. Like, I've been playing fantasy for a long time, and I cut down leagues. I was up over 30 leagues for a while there, as all of us were or are. And I cut down to 12 leagues. I have 12 leagues, and that includes my home leagues. And I made the playoffs in 10 leagues. I made the semis in 8. I made 6 finals, and I won 5 of the 6 finals. So it doesn't happen. It's not like that every year. I'm not somebody who, like, I'm accountable. I don't do that all the time, but this year was a great year for me. And TA2. So the other trades I made were, I made a trade with the Dynasty Studs. I don't know if we are supposed to say the name.
Dynasty Stud. No, he's the guy asking the question.
There you go. So I made a trade with him right before the season started. I gave up Brian Thomas Jr. and a second in 27 for Bijan and a third in 27.
Oh, that's
in November, I gave up Ricky Pearsall and my 26 first, which will now be the 112, for Christian McCaffrey and a 27 third. And just before the playoffs began, so I lost Patrick Mahomes to the knee, and I traded my 27 first for Matt Stafford and a 27 third.
I remember talking about that trade, and I remember liking the pick, but I understand why you did it.
The answer is the pick on value, but that's why.
I get it, but I get it.
But that's the playoffs, baby. That's what you got to do. You overspend a little because you need –
And those three guys, so CMC, Bijan, and Stafford, in week 15, they scored me a combined 70.8 points. In week 16, they scored me a combined 97.85 points. And in week 17, the final, they scored 86.45 points. So, like, it was a good year. So I am proud of this one. And that league is a lot of fun. It's stacked. All the Trade Addicts leagues are stacked and a lot of fun, but that's been my most successful Trade Addicts league by a long shot, and happy to get that one.
So what Brian doesn't know is he's now going to be hosting the TA pod again because he did so well. So no, he's not.
No, I'm not.
But something I am going to request is when you come back on for 500, I want like a plaque on that little post behind you of the 2025-26 fantasy season. Yeah.
That's
great. That says like playoffs in 10, semis in 8, championship in 7.
If you know me, and Russ does better than anybody here, and certainly Rock a little bit too, but I'm not like, I don't know. I don't take victory laps very frequently. So
if you go to his roster on TA2, it's a gigantic picture of him holding a fantasy football.
That's true. Oh, I thought he was being serious.
And the little trophies after my name, like Joe does, he's starting me on that. So
okay, TA6's champion is called the J Mike Championship in
Port. It is. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
All right, well, we can move on.
We don't have to.
Do you have any more? Go ahead.
No, I'm good. I'm just kidding.
He asked you, am I a bad person if I realize that I'm no longer really a sports fan, just more of a fan of, and more just a fan of my fantasy teams, real life and fantasy both? I would say no, because Russ did this, what, like 3 years ago? When did you stop rooting for teams?
I don't even remember anymore. I feel like it's been a while, but yeah, I used to be a Seahawks fan, and then it just occurred to me that I cared so much more about how my fantasy teams went than about any team went. Mm-hmm. And I started to get annoyed with Pete Carroll and with Russell Wilson. And I'm just like, if I'm not really into this, why am I going to be upset about it?
Yes.
So I just decided to care about my fantasy teams. And it's honestly insanely freeing. I get to sit and watch football on Sunday.
Right. And Russ has so many fantasy teams, he doesn't root for one specific person outside of T. Higgins. So if anyone who does well helps him in some way, shape, or form. So,
and I'm playing against him in some way, shape, or form. So it's absolutely fine, which is why, again, I don't root for anything. I just root for good football because I'll be entertained, and then I'll check my scores on Monday and
Tuesday. Russ is basically betting the over 16 times in every weekend. All right, I wanted to save this one. He asked this last week, but I wanted to save this one for a couple of commissioners. He said in home leagues, you can't always get 12 teams who are fully bought in. A commish a league where we mandate starting the best lineup and commish must go fix any violators with the highest projected bench scores. People don't like that. Any other rules you might recommend instead? So, Rocky, you're king commissioner. You commission a lot of different wacky leagues. So how do you keep people involved? How do you do anti-tanking? And I know Russ is going to roll his eyes at the anti-tanking.
Well, no, the real answer is Rocky's way of playing. I fully like in this situation, potential points is the answer.
I was just going to say Russ knows my answer.
Like in this specific situation, it absolutely is. Like I prefer reverse record because I like having starting lineups mattering, but also I can trust in the people in my leagues to not be jerks about it. And if anyone does set a bad lineup and I say something to them, either they fix it or they're gone. I mean, like that's really what it is. And I've never had this situation where I'm like, hey, it does say in the bylaws that you have to set your best lineup. no one's ever been like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, you know, they realize that it's, you know, that usually they just don't check the rules, and I'm and if they know me, they know I'm fine with tanking in a way. So they're just like, okay, I'll tank. That's fine. But the real answer is, if you can't trust your managers to set their lineups, the only way to keep it fair is to use potential points as everything, as for draft order. That's the way. Like, that's really the best thing you can do. Otherwise, you just got to, I know it's tough to say, but you need to get people that want to play.
Yeah, that's another thing I was wanting to say. To his point about being fully bought in, I don't think you can legislate that in any way. You can do the potential points to make up for them not being fully bought in. But the only thing I think you can really do about that is just get better managers, basically. Yeah,
and especially, I know that's tough.
Yeah, which it is hard, yeah. It's not like where, you know, can just, Russ can put out a thing on Twitter and get like 20 people signing up for Trade Addicts Leagues or whatever it is. So.
Which, by the way, we have openings in Trade Addicts
Leagues. Yes, yes.
Check out my Twitter at Dynasty Outhouse or my Blue Sky at Russ Fisher. Yeah, Frank in the chat retweeted it as well. I have a Google form, or you could just DM me at Dynasty Outhouse on Twitter or at Russ Fisher on Blue Sky, and I'll get you the form. What I do is I take it, I get as many names as possible, and then I pick people at random. I use the name of wheels, wheel of names, that's it, and select people at random to join the leagues. So, yeah, hit me up if you're interested.
Can't slow down. Brian, anything to add on the home league stuff? I don't know. No, do you commission at all?
I commission one home league. And that is plenty for me.
Yeah, that's smart. Okay. Is it too early to think about what you'd trade the 101, presumably Mendoza? I'm not sure it is presumably Mendoza. For what are you giving the 101 away for? Does anyone have the 101 in a league?
I do.
Okay. What are you thinking? What would you consider giving it away for? Doesn't have to be dead on the money. Like,
My answer for this question is I will never sell the 101 for one player.
Okay.
If I'm selling the 101, I need it to change my team. You know, the package coming back needs to be team changing. And that stands even in this year where it's supposed to be a lesser year. Jeremiah Love is the running back, right?
That's who Haywood's saying, Rocky, not Jordan Love.
I realized that after. So I was like, yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was a joke at first.
Yeah, no, I did too. And then I put it together. The 101 is, yeah, right.
Like, just this, the same thing as you would have for trading Genty away. Like, I don't think it's that big of a difference between these two guys. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't have like a good answer, because if I was the one for one kind of guy, it'd be so much cleaner to say like I would do it for this player or this kind of wide receiver. But I need a package of players coming back to me. One of them needs to be solid, like someone I've seen do something before, because why gamble with the 101 when you could just gamble at taking a player? Like it doesn't seem to make sense to me. So give me something that's solid.
It is funny that, and Brian and Rocky can jump in after, this year's draft is fairly similar to last year's draft, right? You have one quarterback and one game-changing running back, and then it's just a big hodgepodge behind it. So we literally had this discussion last year. So I think, and maybe I'll do some work on this, like, go back and look what the 101 went for last year. And I think it's going to be fairly similar value. It's not going to be the same player because player values change. But I think the value itself, there's one QB and one running back. So go see what you had to trade the 101 or the 102 for last year. And I think that's going to be kind of the same value. But Brian, what do you think on that thought process?
Yeah. No, I'm with that. I think, you know, anytime you're moving off the 101, it's got to be a haul, right? It's like Russ said, it's got to be like team changing, not just, you know, not just one player or like three mid players. I mean, it's got to be a package that you got to make me move off the 101. right? Mm-hmm. So
I was just gonna say, more than it's worth. That's what I trade the 101 for.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, I mean I'm with these guys on that. I think you know, as far as Mendoza goes as being that guy, I think you're gonna have a lot of discussion about that, especially once we get through, like, I hope that he throws at the combine or in a workout or something like that, because I mean, I would have thought and have thought that it's Jeremiah Love for a while, right? I mean, Mendoza's making it tough. He's looking unbelievably efficient. Now, he plays for an awesome team, for an awesome coach, and they're a buzzsaw right now. So, you know, does he come in the NFL and have the same success? You know, he's, if he goes to the, I mean, it was, it's, or I saw it said Oakland, Las Vegas, right? So, like, I don't know that he has that right away, but, you know, does he have the tools? Can he make the throws? He's looked really, really good this year. So I hope he throws.
He won't. He's a Heisman. Won't. He's a Heisman and a national champion.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah,
he's about to be.
Yeah. So you know, if you watch his tape, at least, I mean, I think it's pretty impressive. So he certainly made it tougher. I think, you know, in super flex leagues, the quarterbacks are always valued higher than, you know, than they would be otherwise. So, but that's a tough call. He's made it hard, because I think it's always been Love for me in terms of the 101 this coming year. But I don't think it's too early at all to have those conversations or to think about it. It's just make sure you're getting a haul.
Yep.
Totally random side tangent. I was looking at players just for the hell of it. I don't think I would do it just for one player, and I didn't really come up with a name. I was looking at quarterbacks and wide receivers, though, because if I earn the 101, that's what I'm looking for. DLF's ADP, specifically the QB ADP, is wild to me. They have Patrick Mahomes at QB 11 behind Jackson Dart, Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence. I know some of these guys have had nice runs at the end of the year, but am I crazy? Is that insane?
It is absolutely insane.
I think they're scared of health. Is probably what
I guess that's what it is, but it's still, I still think it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think you've seen, I think that's been pretty consistent at DLF. I mean, in general, right? Like the youth and the potential is weighed more than actual production. We, Russ and I, when we were regularly meeting on here and hosting this show, would talk about that all the time. Right. And that was years ago. So, you know, I think the youth is always valued probably a little bit higher than it should be.
Which I still think is crazy. Like, he's 30. Does anyone think he's not playing like at least like 8 more years?
At least.
Yeah. So, like, who cares if, yeah, how old he is? Like, you're getting another 8 years out of him.
I think they're going to be ridiculously patient with him. Herbert's also ahead of him,
I think, is also crazy. But
yeah. I think they're going to be very, very patient with him.
Anyway, that was just a random side thing. Yeah. We can move back to the show sheet.
No, that's fine. This is a good tangent. Any studs you can buy cheap now? Any boring vets you're looking to acquire now that the community's collective attention will shift to the rookie draft as the next shiny thing? Or are you waiting till closer to the draft when you can maybe get even more for your picks? What type of deals are you making now? So, Russ, we can start with you on this, because I think this is kind of a trade theory question. Like, when do you think of going for the vets? Do you do it now? Do you do it closer to the draft when you can stick a player next to that pick number? What are your thoughts?
Well, the answer is always the closer to the draft, the more the pick is worth. I mean, that's the truth, you know. Does that mean you have to wait until the draft, until that pick is on the clock to make the trade? No. But the further you get to, you know, the end of April, beginning of May, whenever the heck the draft is, your draft is, like, that's when the pick is going to be at its best value. So that's really when, not that you want to trade it away, but like, if you are hardcore value, and that's all that matters. Unless you're getting a pick, an offer that blows you away, you're going to want to hold on to it to the end. I don't think you have to hold on till then. I don't think you should. If you get the offer, if you get a good offer, you take the good offer. You don't be like, well, that it's going to gain value, so I'm not going to do it now. Like, that's silly. If you get a good offer, take the good offer. That's really, you know, that's the Peter Howard special. You know, it's, you know, depends on the offer. If the offer is there, you take the good offer. But again, if you are hardline value is all that matters, that pick is going to gain value every second until it's on the clock. So that, like, I feel like I'm answering two questions and neither of them are the one you asked. But but also to go, are there any players that I'm going out to buy? I mean, all of these players where they just lost their offensive coordinator or their head coaches, like, I want Jaylen Waddle everywhere because I don't think Tyreek Hill's coming back, which means we might get Jaylen Waddle from rookie year. And with a quarterback that might be able to throw better than Tua ever could have.
Yep.
So, like, I mean, that's...
I like Haywood's suggestion of Marvin Harrison Jr. I think that's a good one.
Yeah, I was about to read that out loud, and then I completely blanked on being able to read the pick is in podcast. Like, I couldn't, like, I could not comprehend how to read that.
Yeah. Yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jefferson.
Another receiver I like that's kind of out of sight, out of mind, and doesn't really have a quarterback, but has produced with bad quarterbacking, Garrett Wilson.
Yep.
I would love, I think you can probably get him significantly cheaper than you could.
And that quarterback's going to matter, though. And they don't get Dante now. So.
As long as he doesn't have a Zach Wilson level quarterback, he usually
produces. They might. Ty Simpson's the next one. So, yeah, Ty Simpson's going to be one of those. So I'm just praying the Jets don't take him at two. But Brian, anyone you're looking at or you like?
I mean, I like old running backs, especially
on this podcast.
Well, especially like ones that produce at an elite level. Like, there are a lot of people. I mean, Christian McCaffrey is 29 years old, right? Yep. And he was unbelievable and carried people. I just read that off, right? Again, by the way, like, there were people 4 years ago saying he was done and he was injury prone and there's no. He's done, right? Derrick Henry, same thing, right? And then he landed in Baltimore. And then it was like, oh, well, wait, maybe he's going to be all right, right? Like, yeah, I know the history, and yeah, I know old running backs, and I get it, right? But, like, I don't know, man. I mean, give me Saquon right now at 28. Give me now Derrick Henry's 32. Baltimore's getting a new coach. I don't know that I'm buying Derrick Henry, but, like, give me Saquon. Give me Josh Jacobs. And, yeah, those situations could change pretty quickly. You know, Jacobs with his contract and stuff. Frank, I think you were talking about that, you know. I mean, so, yeah, it's maybe it's not long term. That's okay. I'll use his production and then get what I can and – go trade for other guys. Like, yep. I think, you know, I don't know. It's funny. The older I get, the more I respect the older players that just consistently produce and help me win championships. Yes. And that's what I want to do.
I hear 28 is old, and then you're like, wow, that's crazy.
Listen, it used to be about the prettiest roster. It did.
Yep.
It's not about that anymore. I'm paying money to play in leagues. I want to win the leagues. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't give a crap. My TA2 roster, if you look at it outside of the guys that I mentioned in the trades, like, I mean, it's okay, but it's not like, oh man, like, he's going to be, you know, and that's what I've done in that league. It's been, you know, I go all in, I win, and then it's 2 years, 2-3 years before I'm really competitive again. I don't tank, but I'm, you know, and then I win again, and then I'm not just saying that, but I'm just saying
all
I think
he does is win, no matter what.
People just are ageists. They just are. I don't care about what the player's age is. I care about how much production can they give me and can they help me win a championship? I'll worry about flipping players for picks or letting them rot on my team. And, you know, if I need to, which I do consistently, yeah. And then I go make more trades and, you know, build a roster again. Like, I don't know.
I agree with Brian.
I was going to say, I want to put Rocky and Har on a team and call it like the senior home. And they're going to acquire all the veteran assets.
We pay way too much for
potential. Going to have CMC and Kirk Cousins on it.
It's insane.
Yeah.
And sometimes it works. But even then, like, you're getting what you pay. You're not even like most of the time, like with these young guys, if they pan out, then yes, you're getting what you're paid for. Otherwise, you're losing out. It's like, it's almost a better investment to go for the older guys who are going to produce more than what you're paying for them.
Starting lineup's going to be Matt Stafford, Derrick Henry, and Christian McCaffrey. It's going to look really fun for about a year. So, Haywood asked about Breece Hall. I don't know. If they keep him, it just depends on the quarterback, right? I mean, if Breece Hall is like a Chief next year, like, sky's the limit. But yep. I'm scared he's going to stay a Jet.
I believe in the player, not the situation right now.
Me too. Is it too easy to say DK Metcalf? Because, like, best case scenario, he's somewhere else, and worst case scenario, he's the number one wide receiver on the Steelers. I mean, I was buying him last year. But
as long as Arthur Smith is gone.
Yeah. But if it's the Rams passing coordinator guy, like, if we were talking about this in the Cool Kids Club today, which patreon.com/sharexpod, if they do the Falcon thing where they bring Chris Shula in as the head coach and then they bring in the passing game coordinator as the OC.
Go House.
Yeah. I mean, I could see the Steelers doing it. You just don't know who the quarterback is. It's probably Will Howard for the time being, I think is the assumption, but we'll have to see. I still want it to be Kyler, but I don't know if Pittsburgh would want that. He doesn't feel very Pittsburgh. So, all right. This feels like the anti-Russ question, so Brian's going to answer it first. We all say to sell running backs early in the offseason if you can get value, but outside of running backs, who are the players you're most worried about to look and worried about and looking to move off of before the NFL draft? And also, if you had to buy a running back or two, now contrary to best practices, who are you going for? So I say that because Russ doesn't buy running backs. So, Brian, who are you buying if you're buying a running back?
Yeah, well, I kind of just said it, right? Yeah. Like, I'm probably looking – I mean, it all depends on cost all the time, right? But, like, I'm probably looking for running backs that other people think are old and probably want to get out on before they, you know, are stuck with them, right? So guys like Saquon, guys like Jacobs, guys like Christian McCaffrey, or guys that like are behind those guys too, right? Like if they've shown anything, like a Marshawn Lloyd, right? Mm-hmm. What do you have to pay for him right now?
Zero.
Right. So, you know, somebody like that, Robinson in San Francisco, right? Like, those are the types of moves I'm making if I'm moving on running backs right now. And I'm buying all the tight ends. I love tight ends, especially in Trade Addicts leagues. So,
I don't think I'm worried about anyone right now. I think it's too early to be worried about people. So, I'm going to skip that part. And I think to end this last question, we're just going to go around the horn. We'll just say everyone can say a pick value for this, just one guy per player. So, he says, I got a bunch of vets I want to sell. What 2026 pick would you give for these guys in Superflex tight end premium? So Brian Har, I start with Parker Washington. What pick? 26 second, 26 for 2 seconds. We'll just go kind of quick on that.
Yeah. I'd give a second.
Okay. Russ, T. Higgins. I moved the list on purpose.
I still think he's worth a first and a second, at least.
Okay. Rocky, Rhonda Gadsden.
That's a tough one.
I think 2 seconds.
That's where I was leading.
He had those ceiling games. You're not getting him for less than a first.
And I paid a first for him in the season. Yeah.
I wouldn't pay a first now.
I don't think I would pay it, though. That's what you're asking, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's what I'd be willing to pay is 2 seconds or that value. Yeah.
I'll do Christian Watson a second, probably. Probably not much more. Brian, you get the fun one. Kyle Pitts.
101.
Free agent Kyle Pitts.
I would pay a first for Kyle Pitts.
Does it matter where the first is?
I'm not paying top half.
Yeah. Russ,
but I'd pay late first.
Tough one. Quinshon Judkins. Mister, I think he broke his leg. It wasn't like a muscle thing, so he'll be fine for the season. But he broke his leg.
Yeah, and it's not that I'm even worried about. It's who's the coach, who's the quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, I believe that's another one, like Breece Hall. I believe in the player. I don't believe in the situation right now.
Yep.
Though it could be magically a great situation if they find the right coach. And even if Kirk Cousins ends up there, you know, like I'd feel good about Quinshon Judkins. You know, it doesn't need to be a great quarterback. It just needs to be competent and, you know, make it an older guy so he'll check down, you know, a decent amount.
Bring Joe Flacco back. Let's just do this all again.
Yes.
Rocky Wandale. Free agent Wandale.
Mid to high second.
Does him re-signing with the Giants?
I'm not paying more than that. I don't know if that's what they're going to want, given I said he was wide receiver 10 earlier in the show. I'm not paying more than that.
Disillusioned.
Yeah. What was that?
I don't think anyone's that disillusioned. So
yeah.
First for Wandale Robinson.
Yeah. So I'm fine with paying a lower price for him, but I'm not that interested really in acquiring Wandale Robinson generally.
Would him being back on the Giants help or hurt his value? Or same?
Probably same.
Okay. Brian Haar, Steeler great, Kenny Gainwell. Free agent Kenny Gainwell.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they bring him back, by the way, for what it's worth. I don't know why.
I want to see. So here's what I'll say. He's not going to be Kenny Gainwell this year with a new offensive coordinator. It's going to be Jaylen Warren, likely. At least that's my opinion. I probably am not paying more than like a third, and I would target other running backs with a third over him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think everything just went perfectly for him this year to fall into a place like that. Yeah.
If you rode the rocket, congratulations, but time to get off. I'll do Pollard. I say the same thing about the Titans running backs every year. Whichever one's cheaper, just buy that one. If Pollard's more expensive, I'm paying a second, maybe. Who's up? Russ, JJ McCarthy. Yeah.
Two thirds.
No, one third.
I'd give a second for McCarthy. I mean, like, if take the sarcasm out of it a little bit, I would easily give a second for JJ McCarthy. I hope he's not my QB1. But. Like if he's my QB3, I'm okay with that. The QB2, if the dude can play long enough to find a groove, like we don't know if he's capable of that yet. Like that's I think the biggest problem right now. Like he keeps getting hurt in different ways. This is like Keenan Allen syndrome, where you know he tears his ACL, then he punctures his lung or his kidney or whatever it was. But like, these injuries that don't necessarily have anything to do with each other, but it still makes it really hard for a very timing based position to not be able to do it and, you know, not to get those reps in. So if we see a full season and he's mediocre with that high ceiling every couple of games, I think you feel good paying a second for that.
Yep. And then I just kind of said the worth nothing. I took Kittle off because Kittle's, who knows? Luke Musgrave, Ryan Flournoy, Isaiah Bond, Jacoby Brissett. Anyone disagree that those are worth nothing right now?
Nothing.
Flournoy is interesting if Pickens goes away and they don't do anything behind him, but I don't think Flournoy is going to be the wide receiver two in Dallas. I just don't see it. All right. One last question before I do closing remarks, and I didn't put it on the sheet because I want pure thought. On Wednesday, December 15th, 2027, we will be getting together for episode 500. Who will be the number one dynasty QB, Brian Haar?
The number one dynasty QB in 2027, December of 2027. So this is
the 2027
season. Two full seasons from now. So the next class would be coming off of their rookie seasons.
Arch saying
one of the 26 quarterbacks will be the QB too.
I was gonna say if you want to just do in the league and not include rookies, because rookies could make this hard, but
yeah. I will say Drake May.
That was my answer.
Yep. Russ, do you disagree with Drake May?
Still gonna be Josh Allen.
I think so too. I think it could be close. I think it's gonna be those two.
I have a question before we finish up too, though, that I wanted to ask. With this being the 400th episode, I wanted to ask, and you can answer too, Frank. Like,
yes.
Do you have a favorite moment? This is Frank's question, I think, in the tweet.
Yeah.
You guys have a favorite moment from Trade Addicts. I mentioned one earlier with the first show. I also, the 200 show, I thought was great. With Russ and the video, and he's practically crying. It was awesome.
Speaking of which,
I've watched it.
Do I have a video or not? No, I don't. I'm kidding. I didn't.
What did you say, Russ? I couldn't hear you.
I saved that video. I still have it, and I've watched it since then.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. And then another one that's less sentimental. I do remember one week Russ wasn't on, and we basically did the open bar on here like 8 months after it ended, and it was a super fun. It was like Peter, Zach, J Mike, Gabe, and I think one other person. It was a super fun show, and I didn't have to do much hosting with Russ out because we had like six people. But I wanted to get I was going to say, Frank, if you want to give one for, and then let these two guys go and finish.
Yeah, mine is the draft spectacular with J Mike and Zach that went like 3 hours that one night, and just like we went through like every dang rookie. But I'm still pretty young in the tooth in terms of hosting. I'm trying to think if there was any as a listener, but I mean Russ and Brian can go while I think.
I don't really have any moment like it's storylines, like when it's really funny, like when you're like I didn't just start. Like I've been watching One Piece, the anime, for what might be a couple of years now. But the thing is, I'm still not caught up because there's like 1,100 episodes.
I just heard about that. Yeah,
and it's been going on for 25 years. And like, you don't talk about it in terms of moments. You talk about it in terms of story arcs at this point, like because it's been going on for so long, and you've been through so much that. You know, remembering specific things gets difficult at that time, but you know, I'm Dynasty House and I have a trading problem. I still expect to hear one of two voices like in my head, like, and it's still when I do hear them, like, I smile like a fool, like, how like it just makes me happy to be part of this and seeing, you know, sitting here, even though. I said Russ Fisher. Like I've decided, I'm saying Russ Fisher whenever I'm a guest and whenever I'm hosting, I'll say Dynasty Outhouse. But even though I said Russ Fisher, to hear Brian Haar's voice after that, like I was legitimately giggling inside. So again, yeah, I don't have a favorite moment, but it's just the collective of all of it was just so much fun and so rewarding.
Yeah, I'd agree with that too, Russ. You know, it's hard to pick just one moment or to remember. There are so many good ones. And I think, you know, one that sticks out for me is just our first episode, right? Which I think was episode 3, if I remember correctly. Yes,
episode 3.
But, you know, going into that, and I think you probably felt the same way. You had done 2 episodes, but like, it was like, can we really do this? Like, can this be something that, you know, we can do regularly that people are going to listen to and, you know, can we grow into it and all that stuff. And for me, you know, the thing that I'm most grateful for, and, you know, Rock, I'm sure you feel this too. Rust, you were unbelievable at making it easy. Like, after that first show, like, there was no doubt. Like, it was like, yeah, if all I have to do is show up and talk with this guy about football, like, this is going to be freaking awesome. And it was. And there's, you know, there's nothing but good memories. And of course, Rock, you know, when you came in, when I left and you took over for me and kind of, you know, stepped right in there, and the show did not miss a beat with you, and you and Frank have done a wonderful job stewarding the show forward. So I'm just grateful to be a part of it and to call you guys friends and to be able to have opportunities like this where we get to come back and kind of, you know, shoot the stuff for a while. And, you know, it's just wonderful. It's awesome to be a part of, and I'm just very grateful.
Appreciate
that, man. I guess to finish out, it's the community that this show has created, and to Brian's point, it was built on the backs of a lot of smart people, and Russ put it all together at the start. And yeah, you're right. Russ made it easy, because, you know, 295 started from the chat. Now he's here. I literally have it written on a cup from. That was my first episode. And I remember I was terrified and I didn't want to do it. And Rocky missed it because he hated me at the time, because I was talking about Brock Purdy too much. And no, that's not true. But it was just a fun episode, and it's continued to be fun. And the community we have, like in the chat, you know, Haywood Almanac is a guy I've kind of crossed paths with a bunch of times. You see Ari in the chat now, who's saying congrats on 400. That is Dynastud, by the way, it's 6:12 in the morning where he is, psycho. So congratulations. Thank you for waking up and posting in the chat. But, you know, just there's a million people we can thank. I started to for like 5 seconds and then I just gave up, like, you know, Zach and Tommy and John Hogue and Herms. And we said Mark Shue last week, right? Mark Shue's come on and done a bunch, but like,
the original B team, Siblo and Justin.
Yeah. And so it's going to be another fun 400, hopefully. Yeah, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you both, Russ and Brian, for coming back and helping us celebrate 400. Brian, I know you're not doing too much content right now, but we can start with you, just where people can find you and what you're doing right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Not doing a ton of content, doing some life stuff. But I'm at Brian Haar FF on Twitter, X, whatever the hell they call it these days. And yeah, feel free to talk football with me. I still love chatting on there. I don't chat as much because I don't see half of the stuff that's out there anymore, because I don't spend as much time on it.
That's why I'm here for you, Brian.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So but yeah, and anytime, you know, in the Trade Addicts and Cool Kids Club and all that stuff, anytime anybody wants to chat about football, hit me up.
Russ?
I am at Dynasty Outhouse on Twitter, at Russ Fisher on Blue Sky. But right now, all the time, it's Fantasy Cares, Fantasy Cares, Fantasy Cares. Every Wednesday night at 9:30, which this week we were here, but every other Wednesday night at 9:30, we have the Wednesday night hangout on the Fantasy Cares YouTube channel. So come and hang out with us then, because these guys usually record on Tuesday, so you're not missing this. Because I know you all go to patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, sign up and watch while they record and ask questions in the chat while they're recording. And you could see Rocky's glorious goatee.
Yeah.
I've been waiting an hour and 40 minutes to say something about it.
I felt so bad. I didn't even say that last week.
Glorious.
Yeah, it is glorious. It is fantastic. Yeah, no, I Russ covered a lot of the stuff. In terms of closing it down, I feel like such an ass, and I'm just going to say it. Like, Randy Young, D DWZ Memphis passed a few weeks ago. He was a friend to this show. I know Russ has been on his show a couple of times. Rocky, I don't know if you ever were on his show, but the GoFundMe is still open for his family. But I should have mentioned that last week and I didn't. So I'm going to put a damper on the show right now just to close it out. But it's an important thing to talk about. Yeah, everyone go donate if you can. I'll tweet the link back out, but the GoFundMe is still open. And of course, Fantasy Cares, SFPL Playoff Mania. I stunk this week, Russ. How'd you do? Did you play?
I do not play because I don't want to embarrass everyone else with just
that's how true. I had Kittle, so that was great. Kittle and like Ladd, or I stunk. As Russ mentioned, Wednesday night hangout. The Hoot Nannies are back. Zach said like mid February, right? Something like that, Russ. It's like it's in a couple weeks.
Yeah, it'll be soon.
And then trivia is on hiatus. They'll come back. So I'm just looking on YouTube right now. The Wednesday night hangout is still going. So everyone go check it out. And as Russ Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Happy 400, everyone. Good night.
Good night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast. A member of the DLS family of podcasts and a proud member Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FS Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
Daddy's the best.
See ya.